Welcome back to Locker Room Dads, hosted by myself, Pat O'Donnell, punter for the Green Bay Packers, and co-host of the show, Josh Brinzo, brewery owner and father of two like myself. Today on the show, we have a dad. He does it all. He's a former NBA player and current shooting coach. This guy is a legend. I'm excited to talk to this guy. Without further ado, Adam, welcome to the show, man.
Guys, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. The name alone is amazing. I'm a dad of four.
Nice. So
super excited to talk about that stuff with you guys, but really honored to be here. Just getting connected with you guys over the last week and kind of researching and learning a little bit about it. It's just so special, the platform you guys have and what you're doing. And I just want to tell you, you even from afar, you're making a massive impact. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Cause I want to dive into like what you do specifically. I know you just mentioned that you have four kids, three boys, one girl.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Nice. Nice. Did you have your first son while you were playing basketball?
Or is that
everything after?
Yeah, me and my wife had him young. So my oldest is 16 years old. His name's Jaden. We have all J's. So we have Jaden 16. Jackson with an X is 11. Jonah is about to be 9 next month. And my daughter, Jill, just turned 6, who's named after my late sister. So, yeah, Jaden, I was playing at the time playing in Germany. Something crazy happened where the pregnancy wasn't going to be covered anymore. At the time, I wasn't married to my wife, so we ended up having to come back to the States. I got out of my German contract at that time, playing in Bamberg, Germany, and I had already had a contract lined up in Zagreb, Croatia. So we had Jaden in back in Massachusetts, where both me and my wife were born. And then literally, I flew out 3 days later, and then Jaden flew 7 days. He was 7 days old, flew to Croatia. So he has literally, we literally took him from the hospital to CVS to get the passport photo and like expedited it. And then I had to go because of the contract. And then my, my fiance at the time, obviously my wife and my sister flew 4 days later. And so Jaden literally has lived, he spoke three different languages. He's lived in like five different countries. He's literally been on the run since day one. So still to this day, it's amazing how kids just adjust to whatever lifestyle we have. And to this day, I could say, hey, Jaden, we're flying to Norway tomorrow and we're going to do three basketball camps and then we're flying to China. And he wouldn't even blink. And, you know, some of my other kids that we had post playing career, like if I were to tell them, it would be a complete disaster. So every kid is so unique in every experience. So, but yeah, Jaden's our oldest and he's been on the run with us for 16 years.
I can't believe the stress of getting a passport that fast, man. That you're already dealing with the birth, and now you're getting a passport and going to Croatia.
I know. And my wife, you know, she's 6 years younger than me, and God bless her. Like, but yeah, just could you imagine, like, literally? And she's having to think about that as well. But it was just our lifestyle, and you know, professional sports is amazing, but it is. There's something to it. There's a pace to it. You have to be versatile but we've enjoyed it the whole time. And to be honest, I stopped playing in 2010. I've really missed that part of it. And we'll all be there someday. I always tell these basketball players, like, the air comes out of your basketball at some point. And the two things I miss the most are competition and camaraderie. I love to compete. So now I like will not let my kids beat me in Uno or War. Like, it's serious. Where my wife is like the saint. Like, everybody's a winner. She's the YMCA mom. Like, and it's what makes us work. But I'm so competitive. And then the camaraderie, the locker room, you know. So in coaching now, I get a little bit of both, but it's nothing like playing. And then, you know, we loved, you know, our journey of playing on every level from the NBA to the Development League, which is now the G League, but it was the NBDL back when my day, and then to all these different countries in Europe. And one of the coolest things was going into these new places, just like if I were to take a coaching job in 2 months in another city in the United States, like, it's such an adventure to go somewhere, make new friends, find your favorite restaurants, find the grocery store, you know, and in these other countries, it's for us, like, trying to learn some of the language, finding friends that speak a little bit of English. Is there a McDonald's? Like, what is, you know, a grocery store? Like, so we really missed it. We were kind of, when I stopped playing, it was a little shock for both of us because, you know, I had something happen in my life, but we miss it. But now we're in it a little bit. The coaching lifestyle can be just as crazy, just as vulnerable and stuff. So, but my playing career really, really prepared me, for this next chapter of my life.
That is so cool. I feel like I thought my life was crazy, and yeah. Then I'm listening and talking to you, and you're like, your life is insanely crazy. I mean, I'm just having to take my family like 2 hours north, and you're shipping them overseas. Oh, you know, I can't even imagine.
It's similar to like the soccer player model, you know, like soccer players, especially like bounce around Europe and all that, like guys trying to make a team. Basketball players that aren't like, you know, a premier star in the league, they'll see some time overseas too. So it's a lot of bouncing around you got to get used to. And
it is.
If you can't adapt, it's probably pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be being fully honest with you guys. You know, my first year and a half was in the NBA. So in my mind, I was spoiled. You know, I had an offer in Italy at the time, Rosetta, Italy, big time EuroLeague coach who ended up being a EuroLeague coach. Nevin Spahia was the head coach. He was young at the time, but long story short, I went over there and I wasn't ready. My mind hadn't shifted that like I could make an amazing career out of it. This is Italy. Like I looked at the weight room. I'm like, wait, there's one ice cube in my Diet Coke? Like, what is this? Like, you know, like just like you did. It was just a different mindset. Fast forward a couple of years when I had shifted it, and my first real job that I took was in Las Palmas, Gran Canaria, which was amazing, the Canary Islands. So I was spoiled in that. But I then realized, like, man, how incredible this journey is. And I really, it was really one of those points in my life that helped me for the rest of my career, was just like honoring the moment I was in. I was looking in the back, I was looking to forward. Oh, I belong in the NBA, things like that. And so I just really bought into it, and we thoroughly enjoyed, you know, that chapter of our life, moving to different countries. You know, I played in Spain, Israel, Germany, Croatia, France, Poland, China. So, you know, looking back now, and I'm still so angry that I didn't take any foreign languages in high school. Like back then it was like, you almost like got beat up. Like I learned a little French and, but man, little did I know where my career would take me. And like, man, if I had a little bit of that, more of that foundation. So we laugh about that now. So I tell all my kids, like, you have no clue where your journey is going to take you. So learn as much as you can. And some, you know, so,
Now I want to ask you, you being in all those different places, what was the easiest to like raise a family? I guess a transition from English speaking, maybe to a leisure lifestyle. Like what was the easiest transition for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, with Jaden, my oldest, and my wife, it was fun. We had a contract in Limoges, France, and it was amazing. So dealing with French people for a year, it was tough, you know? But no, I had a little French background. I could read more than I could speak, you know, just like anything. Like sometimes when we speak English to somebody, like it's just fast. You know what I mean? It seems like fast and slang. Like when people speak fluent French or fluent Spanish, I'm like, whoa, slow down. But I understood enough. I could speak enough and to get by. So that made it easy, but just an incredible place to raise a family, just the way they do it. The culture, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. Like, you know, in America, you know how it is. You go to a restaurant, like they are trying to get you in and out as fast as possible, like to turn over tables for tip. Like, you know, and with family, sometimes even now we'll go like, look at the waitress. Like we have four kids, get us out of here as fast as possible. Yeah. Whatever's ready, bring it out. Like, and then we went to France with Jaden. We had a young, like he's climbing under the tables, whatever. And it is like a 3-hour dinner. Like no hurry, no rush. This tiny little piece of steak comes out. Like, and I'm sitting there like angry, like, oh my God, I got a game tomorrow. My kid is all between my legs. We're embarrassing ourselves. But it was just the culture over there to settle down, relax and enjoy it. So it really helped us as young parents to just take the pressure off us of moving at such a fast pace all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, with four kids now, is it easier to go out to dinner? Because I'm in a stage that you're like,
it's tough.
Yeah, preaching to the choir right now. I have a 2-year-old and I have an 8-month-old son, so I totally get that. Like, it is a task to go out to dinner, and it's something that you want to do with your wife and make sure like everyone's having a good time. But I do understand when you look at the waitress or the waiter and you're like, listen, whatever comes out, literally. Come on,
and my wife's kind of got it down to a science. She literally, like, you know, normally you get drank, and if she's like, "No, we're ready for the whole order," like she'll just rattle it off, and like, and then we always laugh too. You never go to the restaurants where it's like pretty wide open, but they'll literally sit you a family of six, Harrington party of six. Here we come, right next to this cute young couple that's probably on a date. And the whole restaurant's open. You ever happen to you guys? You're like, it does. Well,
I think that's birth control. That's birth control for
pretty
them.
Pretty much. But they're like, oh, the worker's working the section. I'm like, they can't walk 10 more feet so we can give these people peace and quiet.
Yeah, help them.
Yeah. So we always laugh. It's one of those weird things I just don't understand. But yeah, we try. I mean, we don't we try to strategically go out to dinner and stuff. And sometimes it's just giving my wife or me a break from cooking or whatever it is. But my wife's like, I don't want to clean one more time today, so let's go out. But yeah, we enjoy it. But it, like we said, with four kids, there's always somebody either has gas, somebody spills a drink, like, you know what I mean? Somebody yeah. flicks somebody in the ear. Like it's hilarious. So, but we enjoy it. We laugh a lot. So,
it definitely keeps you guys busy. That's for sure. Yeah. I mean, you seem like the coolest dad that we've had on the show.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you're like easy.
The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. A lot of travel.
Yeah.
No, but I want to talk about the clubhouse. I really want to talk about this because you got it all over your chest there. You got the hat on, you got the garb, the gear. So walk us through exactly what is the clubhouse. I'm assuming it's for the youth. I don't know if you guys run AAU basketball tournaments or if it's strictly training or what you guys got going.
Yeah, so the story behind it is I have a really good – my best friend in New Jersey, he coached my son. His son and my oldest son are best friends, and we've just become really good friends. He's in commercial real estate. I'm obviously in basketball. You know, I lived in New Jersey, but obviously coached in Brooklyn, you know, for 6 years. And we wanted to build a place. So if you can kind of see the logo, it's a playoff. Those who are planted will flourish. So I'm a big footwork guy in all my training. You know, in basketball, the first thing that hit the hardwood are your feet and all your power balance. So, and obviously I'm a faith-filled guy. So I really believe being planted, you'll flourish. So we wanted to build a place. So essentially, if you can kind of look, it's in Orange, New Jersey. So it's an orange tree. And on one side is six oranges. That's my family. The other side is five oranges. That's his family. So it's two dads that wanted to come together to build a place for their kids in the community to flourish. And we called it the clubhouse because he'll laugh at this. So I golf, but I'm not a, like, I'd rather go play pickleball or tennis or go for a run. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, but, we belong to this country club, you know, and a lot of times we just go to eat our food minimum. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to build a place, call it the clubhouse. Cause it's, you know, so I got a custom bar upstairs, you know, with my tequila in it or whatever. Like, but I was like, I'm going to build a place. I'm there 6 hours a day now. So I'm really going to get my investment back. But yeah, me and the other dad kind of built it. Just really saying, that we wanted to have time with our kids and do some community stuff. And I always have such a commute. I would be sometimes 4 to 5 hours, round trip, you know, between going to shoot around, coming back, then going back for the game and that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like 41 home games for me were like 41 days on the road. I wouldn't see my kids. So there's times that I was coming home and I'd be like, all right, now I got to find a gym to go work out my oldest son. So I'd drive, you know, 30, 40 minutes in this kind of traffic in this area, work him out for an hour and a half, come back 30 minutes. I'm like, wait, I haven't even seen my other three kids, let alone my wife. I'm like, I got to build something within 20 minutes of where I live. I'm willing to invest whatever. And I'll be honest, we did it right before COVID and it's been the best blessing ever. Forget whatever amount of money it might've cost at the time. I've obviously partnered with legends and brands. So I was he was the real estate guy and construction guy. I was the basketball brand and all that connection.
Yeah.
So I'm running pre-draft workouts now. We have college groups, high school groups, and I coach a group of third graders because my 8-year-old, my 5-year-old daughter has her kindergarten workouts there and stuff. So it's been really cool. And then I'm able to combine it kind of with my sister's charity and do a lot of give back into that area or the surrounding areas of Newark and Orange, New Jersey. So it's been super rewarding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I love it. What is the most fulfilling age group? Because you just rattled off a bunch there. You went from all the way from draft all the way down to what, kindergarten with your youngest?
You got everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, obviously, you know, anytime I'm able to pour into my kids and that stuff, that's always special. You never want to take that for granted. But there's something about draft guys, you know, so I have four guys that are preparing for the NBA draft. And there's something about that, like, wide-eyed wonderment. And I know, Pat, you're in it, like, just guys that are like, you know, I always equate it to, like, when we were kids and we go to Disney, like, when you walk into the park, you're like, and like, you know, just that whatever, you're taking it all in and you're, and so I really enjoyed it. They're obviously, I have a wealth of knowledge that I believe I can help them with. And to be honest, I've been with Kevin Durant, you know, for 10 years. And every time we've had thousands of workouts, he has this wide-eyed wonderment. Like, if you can make me 1% better, I am all into it. So I really, obviously, anytime you're able to work with the highest of the highest elite, you know, it's very, very special. And I don't ever want to take that for granted, too. So I think I've always prided myself on being able to do, if a group of kindergartners walked in, I could make an impact there. And if one of the best offensive players in the world came in, I can make a difference. And so that's part of, you know, it's your competitive nature. And I'm, as a former athlete, wired for progress. And I even carries over to me as a dad and a husband. Like, I'm always wired for progress, always wired for a challenge and want to dig in. And I don't always probably take the best path if you ask my wife or it doesn't, you know, the competition can get the best of me sometimes, but I'm wired for progress. And so I try to do that in all areas of my life.
I really think getting those guys ready for a draft would be so cool. Like those guys are like getting ready to take that next step in life and build a career, like being able to help someone like that would be such a cool feeling.
Yeah. And there's just so many, like we do a lot of cool whiteboarding stuff, just learning offensive terminology, just all the things. I mean, I did obviously coaching the NBA. I did Brooklyn's draft workouts for 6 years. Like, and you saw from Pascal Siakam, I mean, you could go down the list of guys and they're super nervous. And, but I also knew what we were looking for as coaches, you know, in this front office and all that stuff. So being able to bridge those gaps for them, like, and pour into them that way, you know, whether prepping for an interview, hey, give me a scout. You know, I asked a guy today, tonight we got the Toronto Raptors, you're starting on Pascal Siakam. How would you guard him? Like just even rehearsing that, you know, and going through like, what's one time you wanted to quit your basketball journey and, you know, and what made you not quit? You know, I mean, just going through those type of things that they might deal with, but, and then obviously all the basketball skills and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm obsessive compulsive. So we're going to dinner and we're going to spoil them and they're essentially clubhouse family now. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And how many classes have you had for the draft prep?
This is the first time I've done it, you know, cause this is the first year I was last 6 years I was in the NBA. So I wouldn't be able to do that. I would do it for the Brooklyn Nets. So now kind of being,
gotcha.
You know,
so you're with the Nets with that.
Yeah, okay. And now I'm out on my own. I had, you know, an agency hired me. So I'm essentially working out an agent, all his draft guys, you know, guys that signed with him and preparing him. So I'm in this like unique kind of gap year where I'm just able to dabble in a few different things. And obviously the biggest reason was to pour back into my family just from being on the run. And Pat, you know, professional sports and stuff. Yeah. So, and coaches sometimes, you know, it's there's like, we always get obsessed with, there's more film to watch. There's more, you know what I mean? And trying to find that balance and stuff, you know? So this was a good year for me but also to dabble in some other things and make impacts in other ways.
Yeah, were you able to balance when you worked for the Nets there, your family life, as far as like, it seems like you have a great head on your shoulders the way you're speaking, because I see it day to day. Like, I've seen staffs, I've seen coaches, they're all different, and I don't know if anyone has a right answer for it. I've had coaches that get them out, 5 o'clock, you know, go to your family, you're not going to get any more productive work done after like 5, 6 o'clock. And I've had coaches that grind them all the way till like 10, 11, and they want to, like you said, they want to find the edge. They want to find that one clip, that one play, that one thing that's going to make the team better, which I totally get.
Yeah.
I just want to see how you know, as a father, balanced everything. Was there something, was there rhyme or reason to a certain way about things?
Yeah. So, you know, I had no ambitions of coaching initially. You know, when I was my own trainer, I had, you know, obviously I had KD full time. I was working with Elena Deladon you know, long story short, you know, Scotty Brooks, who's arguably my biggest mentor, was coaching Oklahoma City at the time. And he came to me and started talking to me about it. And Scotty was an incredible husband and an incredible father. And so I was always impressed on how he made it work. He created a culture that was very family oriented. So I won't go through everything, but in my mind, when I decided to go to coaching, I made a pact with my wife that if I ever felt it got out of hand or impacted me being a father or our growth as a family, that I was willing to step away. I would go back to individual training or I would go clean floors, like whatever mattered. So I was very fortunate, you know, when I took the kind of my first big deal in the NBA with Brooklyn, Sean Marks had created a very family culture. And so I would say more organizations now are trending towards that. It's just become the way where back in the day it wasn't. And And that's what had initially scared me, was like, I don't want to be this overweight coach who's unhappy, drinks too much, like never sees his kids. And there are amazing coaches. I am not judging anybody, but that was, I'm being honest with you, like that was a fear of mine. And I didn't want to do that. So I was so fortunate to get in a family first. And then I made the pact, like I always said, no matter what I was doing, I was taking my family on the journey with me. And I think a lot of it's sometimes easier to do that as a player, you know, because a lot of these organizations, you can, you know, they can come to the game and they can be a part of the locker room, but it's very rare in the coaches, you know, it's almost, you know, frowned upon, but I think it's trended more. But I wanted, you know, my, you know, even when I was an individual trainer and I was gone 2 weeks on the road with KD or whoever I was training, like my kids knew where I was and I brought them along on the journey. And we always talked about daddy's not working, daddy's helping people. So even when I left Brooklyn, one of my proudest moments as a dad, my youngest son, I said, hey, we're going to be on a new adventure. And the first thing he said, oh, okay, cool, dad. We get to have more time with you. And he says, who are we helping next? And I like literally melted inside. And like I said, we communicated all the time and that we were helping people. And whether it was with basketball or obviously, you know, coaches are on the court and off the court, on the field, off the field. So those were kind of the ways that I tried to find balance. And then I just became super intentional. I mean, even for 2023, I've kind of had this intentional slogan. Before that, I always tried to be super intentional. So I would get up early and I would do my little workout and my movement and my routine to make sure that I could have breakfast with the kids. And, you know, even later on, I had so much towards the last couple of years of my job in Brooklyn. Like I would come back, I would drive back over an hour just so I could spend an hour and 10 minutes with my kids when they got home from school, turn around and fight the traffic an hour and a half to get back for pregame, you know, and then I would land at midnight. Yeah. Like, and you know, I don't say that to do that, but I just valued that time and I respect everybody's hustle, grind, and like, and everybody has their own journey. It was just, to me, it's what I deemed important. And as a former athlete, you know, I said, I kind of assess a compulsive by nature. And if it's important to me, then I was totally going to make the effort. And yeah, I was exhausted. And yeah, I had road rage and my toll bill was ridiculous. But I was like, man, to like hold my daughter's hand and walk home after school and maybe have a snack, like boom. And then I'm back in the car. So, but it's also, it definitely wore on me for sure. I mean, part of the reason I'm out on my own this year and figuring out what, you know, potentially what we'll do next, but it was awesome. And I think we just, as coaches and even as players, we just have to constantly remind ourselves, or hopefully have somebody in your life that's encouraging you and sharpening you to remind you of your priorities and those things. And I was okay with having people be like, man, Adam, you know, slow down, you know, remember your why, you know? And so that's really helped me. And even as I make this next decision in my career, you know, that's at the forefront is the family dynamics, my time and how it all works together.
When do you have to make that decision for the next step?
Yeah.
Is it something that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, obviously college jobs are moving now. And then, you know, the NBA regular season ended on Sunday. So tonight's the first playing game. So, you know, obviously a few teams have already moved some staffs and stuff. So you'll see, there's some people I'd love to work for. There's some opportunities, but it's great that this is a locker room dad's podcast because, you know,
I'm glad we caught you before all the busyness and transactions and movement happened.
You know, we've been in here now 7 years and as a player or a coach, that is like a lifetime. You know, I've had from Mike D'Antoni, a few of my other mentors be like, Adam, I won coach of the year and I didn't stay in a place for 6 years. So we've been a little spoiled. So we're a little rooted. And me and my wife are, I guess you could say, passionately discussing, you know, what we signed up for and what might need to happen. And but also I have a soft spot, you know, in the sense of like, you know, you do want to do right by your kids and your wife and they are comfortable here. And so we're weighing all those things. And I'm always it's not easy. Like, and there's some anxious times and some stressed out times. And so I'm trying to talk to a lot of people and just figure out how that works. But it's awesome. Yeah, some opportunities are coming. But I'm also blessed just with all the things that I have going on that if nothing was perfectly right for us at this time, then I could stay out doing what on my own, carve out my own time and do that. And that's exciting as well. So I'm very thankful, very grateful for all the opportunities that I have and just kind of silently praying on whatever one would be best for our family in this next chapter.
That's a really great position to be in, though, to be able to, you know, kind of make the best decision for the family and not just yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's tough sometimes, you know, but like I said, we really have the ability to go any direction we want. And, you know, that's just a testament to how we've operated, you know, over these last 10 years and the position we're in.
So say a team out west calls you, is that because it's similar to a free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So you're a free agent. People are going to call. They're going to see what's up. I know the clubhouse is going to be okay, right? You got people that are going to be there running the day-to-day stuff. But is there like a special organization or something that you and your family value most? I know it's probably keeping it close if you can, you know, in proximity to where you live.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a special job or a position or an organization that you would love to be affiliated with, or a special player that you would love an opportunity to work for, I guess when it's all said and done before you retire.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, I mean, obviously growing up, the Celtics were always a special thing. Me and my wife are both from Massachusetts. She has family in New Jersey as well. So we're East Coast, but it's funny you bring up West Coast, cause I love the West Coast. Like, I'm an East Coast guy, but man, I go out as soon as I get off the plane, I'm taking my shirt off, soaking it in, you know, acting like I can surf and going to get a green smoothie. I do love the West Coast vibe, but, you know, obviously there's two people. Like, I'm really in coaching because of Kevin Durant and Scottie Brooks. So I'm a loyal, honorable guy. Like, I would love, yeah. I mean, to serve Scottie. Maybe he gets one more job. I mean, his name will be, that would be, I mean, my whole family, we're forever grateful. And he's just been an incredible mentor, and our wives are best friends, and the kids all love each other. His kids are a little older. We vacation every summer together. I just feel like our whole family would love to honor and serve him in some capacity. And then obviously I've had a few times, I mean, I've been with Kevin for 10 years. It's always special being around him. So, you know, obviously he's in Phoenix now. Maybe there's potential opportunity there. But we're also, like, at this point now, it is what's best for our family and things like that. But those are two people that I thoroughly – and there are several others. Like, gosh, there's – especially some young up-and-coming coaches that might be first-timers. I'm super excited to see how all that unfolds. But I love, like, you know, being an assistant, like, there's something honorable in just serving somebody in whatever capacity they need. And that's not always easy for, you know, especially, you know, like I said, Wired for Progress and things like that. But I really enjoy that. And it's so special. You know, even the highest of the highest, you know, athletes in the NBA, these best players, like, there's so much room for growth and they're so open to it. And, you know, being a dad of four and everything I've kind of gone through, I really believe that's all part of my ability to help them with player development, is their ability to talk to them about stuff off the field and how they are as a man, how they are as a father. And those are some of my best stories from my time with Brooklyn, whether it's Spencer Dinwiddie or Joe Harris or all those guys that we went through, was really those, just seeing Spencer now, the father he is. It's like way better. He makes $25 million a year. Like, I'm happy about that because he was making $1 million when he started with us. But, like, man, to see him hug his son and you know, all that stuff, it's super rewarding.
Yeah, what's the crossover like from being a coach and a dad? Because obviously, like, in the NBA, the teams are pretty tight compared to, like, an NFL team with, like, you know, 60 guys.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, we all, you know, essentially each coach is, especially on the player development side, is going to handle 2, 3, 4 guys. So you get super close every day. You're, you know, and, you know, there's 82 games. So you're literally, for 6 months, you're with each other every single day. You have a mandatory day off. But it's like, I'm either sending you clips or we're FaceTime each other talking trash or whatever it is.
Right,
like,
right.
I'll see you tomorrow. Like, in my first year, I'm getting a little older now. My knees are not what they used to be. I used to play with them every day and work out with them. So it was so fun. But yeah, it's a really intimate, and, you know, you're definitely on this journey and, you know, and as assistants, like, you know, you're bridging all these gaps between players and the head coach, you know, then the GM's got input and the coach, you know, so there's a lot going on. And,
it's important though. You have an important job.
No, you know, for sure. And for sure. I've always said that. I think organizations have to continue to pour more into their assistants. Like, and I'm an assistant, so yeah, cool. I'm like speaking on behalf, but like, we're literally the ones that are with the players day to day and the most. And, you know, players should be first, and we're pouring, investing in their development all the time, and head coaches and, you know, go to all these retreats and things like that. But these assistants, how we pour into them. But also, it's great when you have leaders, whether it's the general manager or the head coach, that creates these cultures of making sure that their families are good and that they, hey, you know what? Go home today, man. Get out of here at lunchtime. Like, you don't need to, you know, we got 8 other guys here to rebound. Like, go home. Your daughter has a rip. Right. Oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, it's so, it's cool. So,
you mentioned vacation real quick and briefly, and we'd love to talk about this topic on the podcast. We'll pivot real quick from your day-to-day stuff. Is there a special vacation that you and your family have taken, or a special place that you guys love to go in off season or just to unwind?
Yeah, you're gonna laugh. I mean, it's Disney World. Like,
Yes. Let's go.
We have some like cool beach places. You know, I grew up going to the Cape. My wife grew up going to like the Jersey Shore, Ocean City, which is a beautiful. I thought growing up, everybody thought New Jersey was like the armpit of America. So you're like, no way, it's beautiful beach. It's beautiful. And the water's way warmer than the Cape Cod. Like, but Disney World, like I'm literally looking right now to book a 2-day thing just to get away because our things have been so good. But my wife, she loves it. Like she is literally the Excel sheet to the time, like 9:06, eat your big Mickey pretzel. 9:08, run to Thunder Mountain. Like she maps it all out. And so we love it. All the kids love it. It's just something we do. And it's like, you see the same ride every single time, but you get so excited. Yep. Like that wide-eyed wonderment. But we love it. We have some friends that have places down there. We've been fortunate enough, I'll be honest to say, we've done the VIP a couple times, which is totally the way to go. It's incredible. Like, especially with kids, like you're not waiting in lines or anything. It's such a cool experience. They'll literally pick you up and drive you in the back. And like, so we've done that. And now I'm like, I totally saved just to be able to do that. But yeah, Disney is something we've done. Well, Jaden was able to go to Euro Disney in Paris when we lived there. But we've done Disneyland and Disney World. We love it. So at least once a year for sure. Yeah.
Listen, I love
Don't get him started on Disney.
We're annual pass holders, but for those people listening who don't know, the VIP thing ranges in price depending on season, but it may seem really expensive because I mean, it's not cheap, but it's 10 people. Like you get 10 people in a group. It's actually kind of worth it.
Well, the Harrington party is six.
We've done it. Yeah.
But it's sweet. Yeah. It's really cool.
If you get it off peak, I want to see, I mean, you have to do a minimum of 7 hours. You're looking at like $3,500. Yeah. And I am not telling anybody what to do with their money, but it is so, and if you're splitting it between, to your point, two or three families, it's not that. Oh, after you do it, you'll be like, I would have paid $10,000 for that thing.
You can knock out every park in a day, like all the rides, you name it. It's easy.
I had to go and speak somewhere in Tampa recently, and I went to see a friend in Orlando. And sure enough, I bought a one-day ticket to Epcot Center and drank my way around that world showcase.
Yes!
It's the greatest thing ever.
Let's go.
Don't tell anybody. I'm like this creepy dad that's just got no kids, just walking around. But I loved it. And my friend, Tiago Splitter, who played the NBA for a year, he met me there. He was on All-Star break, but... Oh man, I love it. I love it. Disney is the best.
Oh man, Epcot's my favorite. We did that for my birthday 2 years in a row now.
So. And the people watching totally alone, like, don't get me wrong, my family, we're probably a little crazy sometimes too, but you can see every dynamic of a family at that park, whether it's the meltdowns to the, like, it's just incredible people watching as well.
Oh yeah.
I think that's what I'm afraid of, the meltdowns. Oh. Like we're kind of like strategic when our naps and this and that and breakfast and dinner, like what you and your wife do. Josh, I give him and his wife so much credit where they will literally nap Billy in the stroller. Like if they're pushing around the park, she'll just knock out in the stroller.
Yeah.
I have anxiety like thinking about that.
We've been taking Billy. She's 2.5 now. We've been taking her since she was like, I don't know, 2 months old or something to Disney or some Bennett. He's 5 months today, actually. He has been to Disney like 4 times already. So, I mean, they're used to it. And Bennett's a champ. Oh. He doesn't cry or anything when we're there. Billy loves Disney, so it's great. Awesome.
No complaints. My wife's the same way. She's pretty routine, but when we're there, I would be the one because I used to like love. I'm one of those dads like, oh, the kid has to nap. I'll nap with them. I'll go lay down with them. So I used to kind of, when we first started doing it, I get angry. Like, we're not going home to nap. Like, she's like, no, they're napping in the stroller. We're going to keep moving. Because she loves Disney. I don't know if she went. I used to go like once every 3 years, like when I was a kid growing up, you know, something super special. I think my wife would have maybe only went once, but she loves it. If I told her right now we're going, like, she doesn't want to do much that much because of everything we got going on, but I'm like, hey, we're going to Disney, she'd drop everything and change all the plans. So that's always a special thing for us.
That's awesome.
Okay, so now we're on a Disney topic. I just want to ask because my daughter is really into the Disney movies. And I don't know if you guys have finally, she was, we had her on like all these like Baby Einstein videos, like super slow, little TV show. So now we're really into Moana. Whoa. You know, I don't know if your kids are still into Disney or what's the number one Disney movie that your kids love in the house.
Oh, what's the... Well, obviously, my daughter loves Frozen. She's big into Frozen. Oh, yeah. We are massive. Yeah.
Classic.
Disney Plus is one of the greatest things ever created. We watch it all. But you know, Moana's coming out with a real life one. They just announced it.
Yeah. And The Rock is in it.
It's going to be really cool.
I want to say shout out to The Rock, though. Like, he's done a lot of stuff. And then you watch Mulan, and I'm like, this guy is so talented.
He's very talented.
So talented. Right? He's in my top five of, like, who I'd love to have coffee with or a glass of tequila with. You know how you can, like, pick five famous people? Like, I would just love to just sit and rap with him. Like, he's got to be so cool. Like, I got up at 4:30.
He's got a cool story.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So I love – he's such an inspirational follow, too. So it's good. And how he manages everything he has going on in his life, super impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So shout out to The Rock. We'd love to have you on. Yes, all right. What are your other four? You have top five? I'm gonna hear your other four.
Oh, you would put me on.
Do you have four?
You're putting him on. Do you have spot.
Four? Oh, give me one. Give me so one. Would, one other person. It could be throughout history. Yeah, it could be current.
I definitely have. Let me see.
Is it MJ? Is it LeBron?
I've done those. I've been fortunate enough to do those. Who the heck was it? There was just one I was talking the other day.
I would have loved to talk to Kobe. That is one that I would have loved to just sit, like, fly on the wall, just sit, absorb knowledge, and just, ugh.
I mean, I guess I will say this one, seeing as I'm from Massachusetts, Tom Brady. So I will say that. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he's already out there. How do you know a Boston fan or New England Patriots? They're going to tell you.
I used to love, I always wanted to talk to Michael Schumacher. You guys remember him, Michael Schumacher? Yeah.
Okay.
Like back in the now there's like Lewis Hamilton and those guys, but I was just enamored about just how he operated.
Schumacher was an amazing, talented driver. And that was like at a time, even though Ferrari was amazing, there was still really high competition between the teams. And Schumacher just was so freaking good. You just couldn't beat him.
So
I don't know who my person would be. I'd have to give that some thought.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. There's plenty of athletes. I grew up a Cleveland fan through and through. I've seen the best and the worst.
Did you say Joe Thomas?
I do love Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is a great guy. Unbelievable career. But I don't know. There's a lot of good names there.
You probably throw LeBron when in Cleveland.
He was good for the Cavs.
Yeah. Oh. He's such a
for the city of Cleveland. Yeah. He was great.
I cried in 2016. It was a great time. It's the only professional championship I've gotten to witness, and it was a great one.
You know somebody? I'll name drop here, but he wasn't in my top five. But I recently got connected to Drake, and I wanted to, like, one of the most genuine people I've ever met. Like, incredible eye contact. Like, he obviously is a big basketball fan, so he knew I kind of trained KD and stuff. But like. I walked away. I'm not a big music guy. Obviously, my 16-year-old son is like, are you kidding me? Like, you know what I mean? But I was just more impressed that, like, just he literally entered the room and, like, his smile just lit everything on fire and, like, just had an incredible charisma about him. So I was just super impressed. Like, I love things like that. Like, those people that just give you, you know, that incredible feeling, have incredible eye contact and, you know, remember your name and, like, things like that. So, I was super impressed.
That's cool to hear. That's really cool to hear. So,
I know my person. I got it.
Go ahead.
Anthony Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain. I normally don't get sad because you don't know them, like, when someone passes. Anthony Bourdain got me through college. Like, I got there. I was new to Texas. I didn't really go out with a bunch of people. I used to watch a show all the time. I was like, this guy can connect with literally anybody. And he made all these cities sound amazing. Like, he went to Cleveland, and you would have thought he was in, like, Paris or something. Like, I was like, dude, he made Cleveland sound great. Like, I'm proud of that. Like, he just was so cool, and like, you just like felt like he was a cool guy to like go get a drink with, have a meal with.
He could tell an incredible story. Cool. So I'm very good friends with JJ Redick, and that's like a lot of his inspiration behind his media stuff was Anthony Bourdain. He loved him, like, but just the more like storytelling. Storytelling there's an art to it, and you know, and he was. That's a great name. Yeah.
I heard Reddick, he's awesome too.
Incredible.
I heard nothing but good things.
Incredible. Like, you know, I'm going to tell him about your pod. He'd be an incredible dad. Like, just, I've always, always been a fan. And we got connected. I want to say 2014. I've been friends ever since. Yeah. Training him.
Nice.
I used to sneak and train him when I wasn't supposed to because he was with another team. So I could say that now because I'm not in the NBA. But no, I love him. And he's just little, it's no surprise that he's not crushing his next chapter of life. So, he's doing really well.
Oh, I love that. All right. All right. I have one question pertaining to your job, your old life, your NBA, most fulfilling moment that you've had.
Yeah. That's a
tough question, Pat.
I'll give you one of.
It doesn't have to be the most.
Yeah, not the most, but like these people listening, they're like, it sounds like you've lived the most incredible life. You've seen so many things. You meet amazing people. You have an amazing family. I just want to like paint the picture like for them if they're listening.
Yeah.
An amazing moment. Like,
You know, 2018, 19, when we made the playoffs and were the sixth seed, we had D'Angelo Russell, Jared Dudley, just Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, you know, when Sean Marks took over Brooklyn in 2016, I'm sure some people know the story, but just no draft picks, the Boston trade had went completely sideways. And it was literally going to be, you know, late first round draft picks, second round picks, and free agency. You know, to find Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris were out of the league at the time, get them on minimum contracts and kind of build it. That was so rewarding. And to be honest, it was a no-brainer for me to take the job because I love player development and I love challenges. So I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll do that. And we were moving back to the area. We were living in Oklahoma City at the time. So I was all in, but, you know, knew we weren't, we lost 24 games in a row at one point that first year, but you would have thought we won 25 in a row. And because it was just a culture that we had created and it was all about development. It was all about the, you know, the next step. We had incredible staff that, you know, where everybody was rowing in the same direction. So that was super rewarding. But then, to obviously basically move up the timeline faster than we were supposed to get that. It was just a special time for our family and everything just to go along. Playoffs in Brooklyn. I will say that, you know, Brooklyn is a special city. They love basketball in New York. So that was cool, you know, and then outside of that, you know, take that to then getting Kevin Durant in free agency, somebody that I was so close with to kind of be reunited and everyone knows at the end, everything didn't work out, but like, what a special time for a group of people that had been in, you know, in Brooklyn since 2016. So those are special moments, you know, a lot of, you know, in professional sports, a lot.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. That's amazing. That is so cool.
Stuff going on, but it was just a testament to what so many people had started to build. And so it was really rewarding. And then just as, you know, having a young family, getting them to experience it, you know, I'll tell you a story. Like when we first took the job, my oldest son was, God, how many years ago now that, you know, he might've been 11 or 12. And, you know, we had Luis Scola, Randy Foy, but, you know, great NBA players, but like, you know, we, as I mentioned, we weren't going to be very good. But dad's like, my son's like, "What's Brooklyn, dad, Randy Foy, Luis Scola," you know, to then 6 years later, it's like Kevin Durant, James Harden, like just going down. So, it was awesome. And, those kind of moments really, really stick out. But like I mentioned before, Spencer accomplishing his goal of making $20-something million a year and a father to Caris LeVert, to those guys. And, you know, making an impact on them to still have all those friendships. That's really the ultimate special thing.
Yeah. Well, I've got a question for you regarding Brooklyn. Being in Brooklyn, is the media harder on you or the Knicks? And I probably know the answer because I lived in the area.
Yeah.
The media eviscerates the Knicks.
But
I don't know what it's like.
No, it's definitely not as tough as you know, the Knicks, you know, so, but it's such an interesting, there's something special about the Garden and the Knicks, though. Like, obviously, growing up, I was a Boston fan in general. So I love, like, it was good. I love playing the Knicks. And you wanted the Knicks to be good. You know what I mean? It just made it overall better. When the Knicks are good, it's good for the NBA basketball, you know, in general, those big markets, just like the Lakers, the Celtics, things like that. So, but yeah, definitely that New York media. I mean, they just hadn't had a lot of success for so long, you know, so that they would beat you up real quick. You know, so, and no, but I mean, it's in the time, it's, you know, Brooklyn went through, you can see it went through some of their tough stages and there were tough questions to answer. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't live up to expectations at certain times from, you know, and, so yeah, it's tough. You know, Pat knows all about that media, man. It can shift.
I do.
It can
shift quick,
but it's such a necessary part of, you know, why we all, everybody, even us coaches. Yeah.
Oh, it's a sport. A lot of money, for sure.
So yeah. Yeah.
New York media got me once. I lived in Connecticut for a bit, and I just remember driving into the city one day, and it's right before a Knicks season, Yeah, and they're like, oh, you know, we're going to be so good this year, all this stuff. Like, talk about the roster at the time. It's like 2016. So they were talking about how good their roster was and that there were spots for improvement, but they thought they'd be solid. Like, 2 weeks in, I'm driving again. Oh, this team sucks. They're terrible. They're never going to go anywhere. They got to fire the coach. Like, all this. I'm like, man, they turn quick here.
It's so interesting. Like, I grew up in Boston. I don't do a lot of sports talk radio because it's nauseating to me. Like, especially when you're listening to a sport you know about or you have inside information. So people often ask me, like, you know, and I'm like, man, if you only knew the truth, like, or like,
For sure.
It's not even remotely close to that. So it can work both ways. You're like, man, it's actually worse than that's being reported. Or you're like, that is so off. It's not even close to true. Like, so it's interesting. So I can chuckle out about it with my own sport, but yeah, it's hard. I don't do a lot of sports talk. And I'll be honest. I can say it. I'm not a big first take or all that stuff either. Like, and those guys are super talented and what a incredible way to communicate and get all this information and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, some of it can be, it's a little over the top for me.
it's supposed to be exactly
right? Like, and I bust JJ now. Yeah. Like, you told me you weren't going to do hot take stuff and look at you now. Like, you know, now it is DraftKings commercials and all this stuff. Like, but no, oh. I mean, it's what people click on, what people like, but you know, that's sometimes it's a little too much for me.
For sure. Adam, dude, this has been an amazing podcast. Like, I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got the family you're getting back to. Is there anything like you want to push, say, last moment, closing remarks, where people can find you? I mean, this has been amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously I'm on Instagram, Adam P. Harrington. And then one thing I'd love to share, you know, in 2010, you know, I was playing professionally over in Europe and I had a family tragedy. My older sister passed away from stage 4 undiagnosed colon cancer at 33. And she was 8.5 months pregnant. And we lost a baby boy too. So obviously I came back, it was towards the end of the season. My heart had shifted. I was completely obsessed with making a difference, took a year off. My wife kind of looked at me and was like, what are we gonna do for money? And I started training. I had a little name in my area back home in Massachusetts, but started training a middle school girl for $25 an hour and kind of built this little training business. And then I was traveling regionally and then I was traveling, you know, nationally and speaking and doing camps like that. And in that time, obviously running her foundation. And then also, you know, I got connected with Kevin Durant and started training him in 2013. He wins the MVP and my world kind of exploded. So very, you know, but I often will tell a lot of people, you know, young trainers or coaches, like I literally, you know, when I first started with that 8th grade middle school girl, like I treated her like she was Kevin Durant or Elena Deladon. Little did I know 3 years later, I'd trained both of them, but I was honoring the moment right in front of me. So, you know, that was something I had, you know, mentors in my life that just said, honor exactly who's in front of you. And we kind of grow up in this generation now, this culture of Instagram and likes, like we're literally looking past people that are right in front of us to be like, oh, I want to work with that person or I want that, like that's going to get more likes or that's going to get more notice. So, and there's literally people right in front of you that you can honor and hone your skills. So that was an important part of me, but you know, I would love for anybody to check out the JEHH Memorial Fund. .org. That's my sister's foundation. You know, a little 13 years, we've given back close to $1 million, refurbished 5 basketball courts and playgrounds across the country. We just completed our first one. We partnered with Tim Tebow's foundation and did one in Haiti, earthquake ravaged Haiti. So that was a really cool one for us where we break ground on one in Orange, New Jersey this spring. But yeah, we'd love, obviously, we're always trying to raise money, but obviously, if you know anybody in your world or in your circle or your network, please have them reach out. We would love to help them and to be able to award a grant to them. So yeah, it's been really rewarding for my family and close friends that have been a part of this for 13 years. And yeah, that's, I'd love to just end on that note, chase your dreams. Yeah.
No, that's great. I'm definitely going to check it out because colon cancer is near and dear to my heart also. Lost my father. So I do a lot of the work with Lombardi Cancer Foundation because Coach Lombardi actually passed away of colon cancer too. So I'm definitely going to be checking that out. Everyone else, check that out. Adam Harrington dropping knowledge on us here at Locker Room Dads. But Adam, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast and I hope to keep connecting.
Guys, it's so special what you're doing. So thanks for letting me be a part of it and we will definitely stay in touch. And Josh, I better see you at Disney. I'm going to let you know when I'm going. Yes.
Oh, you let me know.
You guys are the best, man. Thank you so much. Okay.
Appreciate it. I'll just wrap us up here. Everybody, thank you for listening to Locker Room Dads. You never know who we're going to have on the show next. See you next time.